You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 4 years ago this week, the United States completed a chaotic and messy withdrawal from Afghanistan, which fell to Taliban rule. After coming to power, the group imposed many restrictions on the rights of women and girls, including bans on getting a secondary education. The UN estimates that over 1 million girls over the age of 12 have not been allowed to continue their schooling or college in the country. But despite these crackdowns, for some students, the learning is continuing discreetly online, including through a local nonprofit that started as a club at UC Davis several years ago. Waleed Jailani is the founder and the president of the School of Freedom and joins us now. Welcome to Insight.
Hi.
Well, I would love to just learn a little bit about you and your journey, and what would you like to share with us?
So in 2017, I came to the United States from Afghanistan, and then I went to school here in Sacramento, and then since then I've been in Sacramento until 2021 when I went to UC Davis to pursue neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, which I graduated this June.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And 2021, right when I got to UC Davis, that was the year that the Taliban took over Afghanistan, and then the previous regime fell, and they slowly just stopped girls from going to school. They banned them to get their secondary education, and that was when I was involved in some efforts with some school districts like San Juan Unified School District to help out refugees in Sacramento area. And when I went to UC Davis, and that was the year that the regime fell and the girls got banned from secondary education, I was sitting with my brothers, and we were just watching TikToks, and we were watching these girls just crying, and they were failing classes on purpose because they didn't want to graduate, because basically seventh grade was graduation for them, and then they would have to get married at a very young age if they didn't have school, and maybe to someone that's 20 years older than them. So I felt the need to do something, and we were just discussing this whole issue at home, and then I told my brothers, I'm like, I want to do something, but I don't know what. And my brother he just joked. He's like, just go start a school. And then I took that literally, reached out to some of the nonprofit and some people that I was connected with, some donors that they might be able to donate to this program. And we just started very discreetly, very small. At UC Davis, we started just teaching them English, and then our aim was to just help out about 30 students and teach them English and maybe help them out to get jobs online and get paid and just support themselves. And then once we had our form open, the registration form, we got about 300 signups for the first 2 days, and then after that it just blew up, and then we got 900, and then the next day I check, we were at about 1200, and we weren't able to render services for all of these students, so we just chose about 300 students at that time, and we recruited more it wasn't even a club or anything at that time. And then we made it into a UC Davis club. We recruited more UC Davis students to help out with this cause, and we started rendering services and for financial help. We decided to make a scholarship program for these girls because we can't help out everybody we can't help out everybody financially, but we just decided to give out about 35 to 40 scholarships, and we made them write essays and just explaining why they want to be part of this program and why they deserve the scholarship. And
what is the scholarship for?
So it's just for the internet. Depending on the packages they buy and depending on the SIM cards that they have over there, it costs between $25 to $30 for a month for a student to be able to attend the school and have internet and properly access all the materials. So these scholarships were just for internet packages.
When it comes to communicating with them, teaching them, I mean, this is a classroom that's 7,000 miles away. It's virtual. How did you accomplish this logistical hurdle? Is this just word of mouth spreading in Afghanistan? And then with a SIM card, with internet access, you and other, you know, students at UC Davis are able to help tutor and teach?
Well, so first of all, because we just went through an era of online learning, COVID, so that kind of laid the groundwork for the school and or for online teaching. Then we just used Zoom, Google Meets, Google Classroom, just platforms that we used during COVID time when we were learning online throughout our schools. Like, we use our own experiences, and then we came up with a system for us, and we use WhatsApp because it's very safe and it's encrypted end to end, so our students' data or anything, it doesn't get leaked. We use WhatsApp for communication, and then we use Google Classroom for submitting assignments and everything, and right now we are working to make a Canvas page and everything for us, evolving the whole process. But then for the logistics, it was UC Davis students, and even the timing was very different. The time zones are very different, about 12 hours different. So when it would be our morning time, like early mornings, it would be their evening time. So we had to work around the time zone. And I get inspired a lot by the dedication of UC Davis students who volunteered through this whole process, because they would wake up at 8 a.m. Sometimes they don't even wake up for their early morning classes. And then at that time, they were waking up very early to attend or to teach these classes, and then just get connected to the girls. And they just loved it. And most of the tutors that we would recruit, they would be from the female population, because we wanted our students to feel comfortable and be able to connect with our tutors. It's not just the education part that we were looking at, it was the mental part as well, because when they get connected to other people, and then they just get to talk about the situation, they get to talk about things that they don't talk about with other people, and then any problems that they would have, so they would share it out with them, and you know, ask for help and everything. And then later I got a message from a group of women's rights activists in Afghanistan, and then they some of them were teachers that lost their jobs because the schools were closed, so they lost their jobs, and then they wanted to do something, and they offered to voluntarily, if we wanted to expand our services, mm-hmm. to teach the full curriculum. And then that's how we got to teaching the full curriculum, math, science, chemistry, history, geography, everything.
Wow. So that's like a full curriculum. And as you laid out, it's not just education. I mean, a classroom is so much more than education, what it offers to children and to students. I mean, and you know this as well as a recent graduate. You have this front row seat as to how crucial the service is for girls in Afghanistan. What would you like people here to better understand about the service that you provide and what it means to them?
Well, so for these girls, our services, it's a window of hope. It's not just they don't come there for education, because we don't even provide them with a certified or accredited diploma, or they don't get any legal paperwork from us. The only thing, we give them a certificate that they did these courses with us and this many hours. And some organizations, they accept that, some don't. And a lot of our students, they actually, when they apply to, right now, as I hear from my students, there are some medical programs, like nursing and midwife programs in Afghanistan, that they do accept girls, even though their pay is just capped at 5,000 Afghanis, which is less than $70 for a month. So nobody can pay a girl more than 5,000 Afghanis. So some organizations, they accept it, some don't. But this is something that it's a community that they come into, they express their art, they express their thoughts. This is a place that they can speak freely to us, to their teachers. And it's a place that a lot of like-minded people came together, and these girls get to be among them and also get exposure to people who live in the U.S. and in this community. So basically, it's a way for them to deliver their messages across, because a lot of times these girls, they don't have a platform to talk into, or they're scared. But right now, their identity, nobody knows their identity or anything like that. And they get to talk to us, and we get to talk to the community here in U.S. So we are mainly, a lot of the work is done by the teachers in Afghanistan and by the tutors, or the volunteer tutors from UC Davis. And then we are just people who facilitate, and we are just the people who try to be their voice.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Waleed Jailani from the School of Freedom. It is a nonprofit providing education to girls in Afghanistan. I can just hear in your voice, this isn't going to stop. You're now an alum of UC Davis, but I can imagine this work continuing. How do you plan to grow this nonprofit and provide this service?
Well, right now, we are facing a struggle with funding, and that is a very big challenge, which I am actively working on. And we are trying to see how we can integrate the programs that we have in Afghanistan and the U.S., because we have some programs and we work with some of the school districts in U.S. So I'm just trying to figure out how to integrate this and maybe provide those girls with jobs. For example, sometimes we need a document translation. Sometimes we need to make video content. So, and a lot of those girls are very, very talented. Like, when I see their art, when I see the edits and the videos that they make, it is like, I feel really sorry and I feel really bad for them, because all this talent is it's not going to waste, but it's not being showcased. So we are trying to showcase that. And then as far as our programs here, we are trying to expand and then work with, because right now we work with Elk Grove School District on after school programs, and we provide tutoring and homework help and mentorship for thinking beyond community colleges and beyond high school. So we are trying to expand those services to other school districts and people who are interested, maybe charter schools, so anybody who is interested. But then with our Afghanistan program, we are trying to get accredited by WASC, accreditation agency, or maybe make an affiliation with a private school, so we can, because we have the curriculum, we have the teachers, we have everything. And even though those teachers are volunteering, but we have a structure in place. The only thing we don't have is the accreditation, which that would open up a lot of doors for our girls, because they can apply to scholarships, they can apply to other universities abroad, Afghanistan, and even some of them, they have immigration cases to U.S. So when they come here, they're not going to have that 3 or 4 year gap in their education. So that gap would be closed, and then they would be able to use the education that we provided them in any country that they go to, or even in Afghanistan. Maybe the regime changes. Maybe everything goes back to normal and the girls are allowed back into school. But then the years that they lost, so they wouldn't have those lost years, like, because we would have gapped between their education. And it's not just us. We are part of an organization called Alliance for Education of Afghan Girls, which we are part of another 150 organization that we almost serve 500,000 people amongst all of these organizations. So we are just a very small part of it, but we do what we can do. And then the community here, they can help out with volunteering, with being their voice, and with using their, even if they can't donate or they can't do anything, they can use their platforms to raise awareness about this whole situation, because a lot of times it's not on the news, or it's not on the surface of the news, and then it just gets, you know, it gets coverage at the beginning or at the end of the year, or, you know, sometimes. But then we need to raise awareness. And a lot of people here in U.S., they might be interested in helping out, but they don't know how. So For that, they if they're interested, they can visit our website. It's www.schoolofreedom.org, which they can visit. And there's a lot more information about how to get involved and a lot more about our programs.
Yeah, and we have a link on our Insight page, too. Waleed, thank you so much for stopping by and for doing this work.
Of course. Of course. My pleasure. And thank you for having me.
Of course. Waleed Jailani is the founder and the president of the School of Freedom. We've been talking about how the nonprofit, started at UC Davis, is helping students in Afghanistan continue their education, as well as how it's helping people here at home in Sacramento. We do have a link on our Insight page if you'd like to learn more. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.